I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We've got a big show for you this week. I mean, a really big show. For those of you that weren't around to see the Ed Sullivan Show, really big show. Yes, indeed. What can I say? I'm a geezer. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. I got it right. It only took me a few weeks, but I got it right. So anyway, we've got, like I said, I'm excited about some of the stuff on the show today. I really, really am. First item, the Tableau DVR. Now, for those of you in Rio Linda, let me explain what that's all about. Tableau is the brand of a company called Nuvio. Nuvyyo. You figure out how to pronounce it. I sure don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, they make a DVR for cord cutters. Folks who cut the cord of cable. Phone, you may dingle all you want. I will pay no attention. The point is that they make this DVR for off-the-air recording of TV shows. Because as most of you may well know by now, you don't have to get your TV off of cable. You can get it right off the air. And of course, if you do that, it's free. All you need is an antenna. Hook it up to your TV. Well, in this case, you hook the antenna up to the Tableau unit, and it then to your TV, and then you can watch TV, or you can record your shows, okay? It's like a regular DVR that you'd have on a cable hookup, all right? So, the big news, however, is that they now support directly Samsung Smart TVs. You don't have to have a separate box, like an Android box or whatever, to put the Tableau app on in order to use the DVR. They now have one that connects and runs directly from your Samsung Smart TV, which is cool. Now, I have a Samsung Smart TV. I do not have a Tableau. And to be honest, I have not yet completely cut the cord. I want to, ultimately, but I'm just waiting for just the right moment to jump, to dive in. Anyway, next item is that there is a serious OpenVMS security issue. Now, for those of you that are going, what? Open what? OpenVMS is the operating system that runs on digital VAX computers. Again, you say, what? A digital VAX computer is an old mini computer, as the picture illustrates there. And you say, mini? It doesn't look very small. Well, it was mini for today, okay? But at any rate, it's what I cut my teeth on professionally when I got into computing back in the very early 1980s. We had, just like the picture there illustrates, a VAX 11780. We also had an 8600 and an 8650, and we had MicroVAXs, which ran Ultrix, which is a version of Unix, as well as the OpenVMS version. Now, the reason I include the article is not because any of you care, but as you know, this tech show is about things I'm interested in, and so I included it for personal nostalgia reasons, because I used to work on these machines, and I'm actually surprised that they're still around. But apparently, They are still around and running things like nuclear power plants. So a serious security issue is a pretty serious security issue. You know what I mean? At any rate, the command language for the Vax VMS was DCL, Digital Command Language. And I actually became kind of a whiz at DCL back in the day. And I wrote a menuing system in DCL that was like a, on the terminal, it was a screen. You could click on options. Well, you can click on them, but you selected options. This was before WYSIWYG type computing where you could actually click on screens and things like that and have a mouse. We didn't have mice. We just had terminals with keyboards. But at any rate, you could select menu options. And it was a very cool little menu system. I made it look like Digital's product called All-in-One, which was their office automation system. Anyway, it was very popular. We used it at work. And so I wrote an article for DEC Professional Magazine. It's my first professionally published article many, many years ago. More than we really need to think about right now. Okay. Anyway, Elon Musk, as we all know, is the real-life Tony Stark. Yes, he is. He has a very whimsical sense of humor as well, it turns out. He decided to test his Falcon Heavy rocket, which has more thrust than a Saturn V. And he wanted to lift something very heavy into space to demonstrate that it could do that. Okay? And so he launched his own personal Tesla Roadster, Tesla electric car, into space. But he didn't stop there. No, indeed. He also dubbed the dummy wearing a spacesuit Starman. He put the in-car sound system playing David Bowie's Space Oddity on a loop. And he has a don't panic sign in large friendly letters on the dashboard. Of course, reference to Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So a bit of whimsy there from Elon Musk. He launched it toward Mars, hoping it would go into orbit around Mars. But he missed. Now, it hasn't gotten there yet. But the trajectory demonstrates that it's not going to hit Mars, meaning the orbit thereof, not actually hit the planet. But at any rate, it's going to go into the asteroid belt. Now, he also included a placard on the Tesla that says, "Built on Earth by humans," just in case aliens find it one day. Now, see, I envision a point in time where some asteroid miners are going to be out there in a spaceship, and they're going to need some, there's going to be a large asteroid, and they're going to need some kind of basic transportation, so they're going to harvest the Tesla Roadster and use it to transport their rock, their ore. How cool would that be? At any rate, whoa! Yes, that drum roll. Good old Fred. Way to go, Fred. Anyway, the drum roll, of course, indicates we have Geek Software of the Week. Now, this Geek Software of the Week is a bit of a retread, sorry to say. But then again, I'm not sorry to say this part. It is the latest release of the VLC player. You say, big deal, the VLC player, whoop-de-doo. I already use VLC player for everything. And, well, you should. Yes, indeed. But no, VLC Player 3.0 is out, and the feature that we have wanted for so very long is finally a part of it, and that is that it will cast to a Chromecast, which means if you have VLC Player installed on either your Android phone, like mine right here, that was going beep a while ago, this is my Pixel 2 XL, you could have it installed on your Android phone. You could have it installed on your tablet. You could have it installed on your laptop, PC, whatever. You can then cast a video, no matter what format it's in, through a Chromecast, and display it or play it on your TV. How cool is that? Also, it supports the Google Home. So like my Home Mini that I've got in the bedroom, I can cast it to that so I can play music from my PC, stream from there, no matter the format, to the Google Home. Even songs that aren't out there on YouTube or whatever. You say, well, what songs would that be? As many people have been uploading songs. Well, there's some songs. For instance, my buddy Keith E. Holiday is a songwriter-singer from Mississippi, and he has a song called Diamonds in the Rough. It's brand new. He hasn't released it on a CD yet or an album yet, but he did put it out on the internet. So I downloaded it, and I was able to play it through the VLC player to the Google Home Mini and listen to it that way, even though it's not out there anywhere else. Cool beans. At any rate, you really, really want to download the VLC player. The other thing is, well, I'll get to that later. I was about to get ahead of myself. I've got to calm down. Calm down a bit, because so much of this is so exciting. It's just so exciting. At any rate, next item. The Nintendo Switch Linux hack. This is from a group called Fail Overflow, which is a strange name for a hacking group, but what do I know? Anyway, they hacked the Nintendo Switch. They actually had to build a little hardware module, which is why I've got a picture of it here, to show you that little hardware module that will work around the copy protection type stuff that's built into the Nintendo Switch. Now, the goal here was to get Linux installed on the Switch, but it breaks the Mario Odyssey game, which is bad because that's the biggest game on the Nintendo Switch. Now, Fail Overflow says that even if Nintendo changes the firmware in the Switch, their hack will still work and it won't be able to be stopped. But it seems to me that they've already been stopped, in the sense that if you do this hack, you break it where it won't play the games you might want to play. Which, of course, isn't the point of the hack. The point of the hack is that they can do it, okay, and that they can make it run Linux. I can think of much cheaper portable computers that would run Linux that you wouldn't have to mess up your expensive Nintendo Switch. So I'm not sure it's the best use of a Switch to do this. Just saying. All right, next item. Intel has come up with some prototype smart glasses that look just like regular glasses. They aren't, you know, like a Google Glass thing with all these little things sticking out that make you look like a Borg. No, they are regular looking glasses. You could go out into public and people wouldn't point at you and go, look at the nerd. But anyway. But what it does, now this is what's weird to me, it will beam a laser into your eye, which sounds dangerous to me. They claim it's so low power that it won't hurt you. But it beams a heads-up display into your eye. So you could be sitting there and you can control it with head movements, you know, kind of a thing like that. You look like you're a nut, but you can control it that way. So you could, you know, like swipe and swipe back with a head movement. But at any rate, the idea is to not look quite so silly like you would in Google Glass. But you could still have your heads-up display. So there you go. The guy from The Verge here, that the video is on the blog of course being drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. You can go to the drbill.tv blog and you can find this Intel Vaunt, that's what they call it, Vaunt is the project name, smart glasses, and watch the video. this guy from The Verge getting a demo of it, you know, an experimental prototype version thereof. Cool. All right, next item. This one's exciting too. Crossover. Crossover, as you may well know, is the commercial version of Wine. Wine being, Wine is not an emulator. Okay, that's what it stands for. W-I-N-E. Wine is not an emulator. No, what Wine is the API framework of Windows that allows Windows programs to run on top of Linux without a performance hit. Matter of fact, I have found that Windows programs run faster on Linux on Wine than they do natively. Not entirely sure why, but they do. So it's pretty cool. So they've come out with a new version, Crossover 17.1, which supports Microsoft Office 2010, among other things, other Windows programs. But the other cool bit of news here is that they have a preview version of Crossover for Chrome OS. So you can go to the Google Play Store, look for Crossover for Chrome, install that on your Chromebook, and assuming it is a Chromebook that will run Android apps, it will then run Windows programs on your Chromebook. Now you gotta admit, that's pretty cool. So the aforementioned Office, Microsoft Office version 2010, you could actually run on your Chromebook. Now they already have an Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint from Microsoft that is free for Chrome, okay, or Android. It will run on a Chromebook. So, you know, maybe that's not as good an example, but you could run other things, other Windows programs, on Chrome that will run under Wine, which is pretty cool. All right, next item. NVIDIA will concentrate on gamers. Now, NVIDIA has made a lot of money this past year. Their stock has gone up. They made about $10 billion in the last fiscal year, which is 41% higher than the previous year. Wow. But mainly they did that because their GPUs are being used to mine Bitcoin. So, NVIDIA came out with an announcement that said, okay, yes, our hardware is being used for cryptocurrency mining, but we will focus on gaming, not cryptocurrency mining. Which I can understand because the Bitcoin is taking a dive, you know, but in terms of value, but I think they'll sell their hardware to anybody, including people that are using it for crypto mining, cryptocurrency mining. Just saying. Next item. Tablet sales continue to decline. And my point is that most people are using their phones more and their tablets less. But the news here is that Apple is still number one in tablets with their iPads. But Amazon has now taken second place in tablet sales over Samsung. Samsung used to be number two behind Apple. Now, the Amazon Kindle Fire tablets have taken their place as number two, which is good for Amazon. However, as I said, the market is declining for tablets overall. So it's kind of like, yay, we're number two at a market that's declining. Oh, well. But there you go. Who knows what will happen in the future? Perhaps people will still get excited about tablets again. I wouldn't hold my breath on that, but I mean, I kind of like tablets myself, but hey, I still use my phone. Although my phone, being a Pixel 2 XL, is a phablet, a phone that is a tablet. It's got a big screen. So I like that. I can see it. Geezer again. Anyway, but I like it. So even if it dingles every once in a while during a program. Okay, last item for the week. Samsung and Roku smart TVs are vulnerable to hackers. This should come as no surprise to anybody in particular. But Consumer Reports has found that millions of smart TVs can be controlled by hackers, exploiting easy-to-find security flaws. Not good. The Roku smart TV and the Samsung smart TV, such as mine, are hackable. They can actually collect data off of them. Now, I don't know. I don't keep stuff on my TV that, you know, that would be compromising in any way. So I'm not sure how big of a thing this is. But what they list is things that consumers can do to mitigate this is a little odd. They say, well, you can reset the TV to factory settings. Okay, they say that will give you basic privacy policies in terms of service that will help in terms of the collection of viewing data. You can turn off ACR using the settings. These settings are typically buried 3 to 4 menus deep, but we've compiled directions for you in the article, which I have on the blog. And then here's one for you. You can turn off your TV's Wi-Fi connection. Though, they say, if you do this, you won't have a smart TV anymore. It'll just be a good old dumb TV again. But, they say, if you're really paranoid, you can just turn off Wi-Fi. And then nobody will be able to hack it. Unless you have it wired to your network, in which case they'd still be able to hack it. But, bottom line is, it'll just be a dumb TV. So, you'll be safe, but your TV will be less useful. So I'm not sure that's beneficial. Another option is to get a network-wide VPN with protection, virus protection and so forth, in it, like the Bitdefender box. You can buy that, put it on your network, and it will protect all your Internet of Things, IoT, environment within your home. But, of course, that is an additional expense that you would have to go through or use or do. So there you go. That would be an option if you want to do that. Anyway, I hope this has been a splendid and worthwhile netcast for you. I've enjoyed it. And really, that's all that matters to me. No, I want you to enjoy it, too. And I want you to tell people about the Netcast. I just posted the Netcast on Spreaker. Spreaker.com. So it's available there now as well, and I've submitted it to iHeartRadio. So hopefully we'll have it on iHeartRadio as well and give you more options for listening to the dulcet tones of Dr. Bill as he talks about technology, which is, of course, what we're all about here at drbill.tv. So join us again next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.